Good morning. It is good to be back together as we continue to worship God through the ministry of the Word now. We have worshiped Him by singing praises, by prayer at the Lord's table, and now we begin to worship as we sit under the ministry of the Word. And this morning we're coming to John chapter 10, but I want to begin by praying, and then we'll read a section of 10 and then begin with our scripture for this morning. Father, we thank You again for the opportunity to gather together, to come together as a congregation, to sing together, to pray together, to participate together at the Lord's table. Father, we just pray that You would, we just ask that You would bless us this morning as we participate together in the ministry of the Word. Father, we know that You have promised that Your Word changes lives, and we just pray and ask that You would open eyes this morning, that You would open hearts, that they would learn more about You, that Father, if there's any here that have not truly heard the gospel and believe, we just ask that You would cause that to happen this morning. And Father, we again thank You for the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's begin by reading. We are at chapter 10. And this is an awesome section of scripture that I think it'll seem familiar to most of us that have been in church much. You've heard this, and we'll read beginning in verse 1 through verse 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So this morning we're going to be focusing on the first six verses of chapter 10. But we need to notice a few things about this entire section before we focus on that section today. As we see in the text, an illustration that Jesus gives. He gives an illustration to the people that he's speaking to that I think they would understand. They would understand all the imagery that he's speaking of. You know, people in that day, he's speaking of sheep, of shepherds, thieves and robbers, sheepfolds, sheep. He uses these this picture, stuff that they, it's common everyday things that they would see to illustrate himself, to kind of give an illustration of the people, of his sheep, to give an illustration of the sheep, the idea of the sheepfold, a group of sheep, all of these things. And so the people would understand it. They would just, because they saw it every day. But they also would understand the imagery because it was so prominent in their scriptures. In the Old Testament, you see a constant reference to sheep, to shepherds and sheep. And I just want to read a few. Psalm 23, 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah 40, verse 10, beginning of verse 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Ezekiel 34:12. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Ezekiel 34:15. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. So you see in all this text from the Old Testament, I did a search, an Old Testament word search for shepherd, and in the Old Testament, it's just prominent, 94 times, just a quick word search in my software, 94 times shepherd popped up. And it was a constant theme. You think of Abraham. What was Abraham? He was a shepherd. You think about, it was commonly used for God shepherding his people. It was commonly used for the kings being leaders of the people, the shepherds of the people. It was common for just the leaders and the priests, the teachers of the law, to be called the shepherds of the people. So as Jesus uses this imagery here, it would have been common to the leaders and the people both, from the scripture of the Old Testament and from just the commonality of having the sheep and shepherds all around them day to day. On the other hand, do y'all know any shepherds personally? Well, I mean, do you know any physical shepherds personally? I mean, it's not something that we commonly experience, seeing sheep and shepherds around us. So there might sometimes be small parts of the picture that we don't get just because we don't experience it. We see it in the scripture, but as far as actually seeing the way a shepherd and sheep works, I don't think it's something that we just can imagine. I'm sure some of you can and have learned about it, but some of the children here have not. Rachel, have you ever seen a shepherd, actual shepherd with sheep? Yeah, I haven't either. Well, not lately that I can remember. But, you know, it's something that we might not see the illustration completely. I think a lot of us have learned it from the scripture. But sometimes there's little pictures, little parts of it that we might not understand. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard that explained. But I've had some confusion with this text. And I want to tell you, I've had confusion like just a few days ago with the text. It was still there until I started, because you commonly read over these scriptures. You know, y'all have heard these scriptures over and over again, haven't you? Talking about the shepherd and the sheep. You know, we read it sometimes, and I just want to kind of show you where my confusion is and see if any of you have the same thing with this text. Because as you read it, in the first part, now this is the section we're going to concentrate on today, but I want to kind of show you the kind of talk about all of it just a little bit, but in 10:1-6, we read, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So, you know, we would think that they would understand what he was saying, because we talked about the illustration would be common but they didn't understand how he was making an application here. But what we see in this text in the first six verses or five verses, we see it mentioning a shepherd and a sheepfold. You see that? There's a shepherd and a sheepfold. We see mention of a door or a gate. And we see mention of a thief and a robber that would go in other than going through the gate or the door. But notice we see also the mention of a gatekeeper opening the door for the shepherd. So there's a gatekeeper that's going to open the door for the shepherd. And then the shepherd calling the sheep and leading them out of the sheepfold, bringing them out of the sheepfold. But then in 7-18, we read, "So Jesus again said to them," so he said that and they didn't understand, "So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees." Well, I'm going to stop right there. But we see in this text, you know, do you see a little bit of a difference in the sheepfold? In this text, we hear mentioning, in the first one, there was a gate and a gatekeeper that lets the shepherd in who brings the sheep out. And here we read the idea of there being a sheepfold that the shepherd is the door. I'm the door, and the sheep come into the sheepfold by me. And that's where I've had confusion trying to put those things together, trying to see, because I've always kind of pictured this being kind of just the one narrative flowing along, like there was one narrative. And so we see this is a continuing narrative. We see Jesus referring to himself as the door of the sheep, and he refers to the sheep who would enter the sheepfold. They will enter by him. And then in verse 14, he mentions that I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd. And then he compares himself, the good shepherd, to the hired hand, the one who would run off if he sees the wolf coming. And then it culminates in this section in verse 16, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." So there's where my confusion's been. Just sort of as I've read it over the years, just lightly thinking about it, I'll read it and I've been confused about these two. Is this the same sheepfold? Is he the shepherd that goes in and then he turns into the gate? You see what I'm talking about? Y'all see that little? I don't know if any of y'all might not have had that confusion, but I have. Okay, so. But we're going to talk about what my problem was and why I didn't quite see that rightly. And I think I've been assuming that 7-18 completely built upon 1-5. But I think by taking it out of the context and just looking at this text by itself, you know, you kind of start trying to figure out how these two sections fit together, I think it causes us to miss the point, especially the first five verses. Notice in the conclusion of that entire, of the entire section, in the very conclusion, we see again a mention of a division. We've been talking about Jesus speaking and teaching to the Jews, to the religious leaders, and we've seen these divisions happen over and over again. We see here, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So we see here in the conclusion here, we see them. There's another division, and some are accusing him of being a demon again. But then some are saying, "Can the demon open the eyes of a blind?" So really the context of this, where it falls in context with the rest of it, brings it kind of clearly into focus as we will go back and look. But we got to not forget where we're at in the scripture and pull this section completely out and just look at it alone. Because we got to remember what came before, and we see it referenced here. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? It's referring back to the blind man that was healed in chapter 9. So in chapter 9, where we've been the last few weeks, I just want to remind you of what we've covered. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, Jesus, as he passed by. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Notice that I pronounced it right. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed and came back seeing. So here we see this man who was born blind. We talked about it. He had no sight. His eyes were dead. He was born blind, and Jesus spit on the ground and made mud, anointed his eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed, and he came back seeing. He came back with sight. We talked about how that was a creation. Jesus was demonstrating that he was God the Son, because he created something from nothing. And we spoke of all of that. But this man, he had sight. He could see, and all the people around him saw, and they started debating, "Is this the guy that we knew, or this looks like him? This sort of looks like him, but it can't be him because he sees." And so the man eventually was brought before the Pharisees, where they questioned him. The Pharisees had a problem with Jesus again because they wrongly thought he was breaking the law because he was healing on the Sabbath. So they questioned the man, and they didn't believe. They just ended up not believing that he was born blind. They just could not believe it, that it could happen. The Pharisees, the religious rulers. And so they ended up bringing his parents in. So his parents came in, and says here in verse 18, the Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So they bring the parents out, and we see here that the parents came in, and you know, they just said, "This is our son, and he was born blind, and how he sees, we don't know. But ask him." They were afraid that the Jews were going to cast them out of the synagogue. They were afraid of being put out. So So they get to this point. So the Jews bring the guy back in again. You know, they're just questioning him. How can you see? So they bring him in again and they question him further. And this time they start accusing Jesus of being a sinner, asking, how did he open your eyes? And he answered them in verse 30. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin and you would teach us? And they cast him out. They cast him out. So they, these religious leaders, these shepherds of the people, the shepherds of the people, those who were supposed to look out for the people and protect them, they cast him out of the synagogue. They did what his parents had feared, that they would be cast out, and they cast this man out. And so Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when we come to the end of chapter 9, we'll just read 35 through 41. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. So the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. So we finished chapter 9 with this man who had been born blind, who experienced this creative work of Jesus. The man was born blind. He had never seen anything. His eyes were dead. We spoke of that. His eyes were dead. There was no life in his eyes. And Jesus created in his eyes, he created life, caused him to see. So this man experiences this, and we see through the progression of chapter 9, this man with no sight who can see, going to the point of being thrown out of the synagogue by the religious rulers, by the rulers. Why? Because he could see. You just think, why? Why was he thrown out? And it was because of his sight that he was cast out of the synagogue, which was, by the way, you know, that was a devastating thing for the Jewish people, to be cast out of the synagogue. I mean, it would be, I've heard people speak of, I'm not sure, but that if you were cast out, you basically lost everything. Because people would shun you if you were cast out of the synagogue. But we see this man who's received sight now being cast out, and we end with Jesus going to him. Jesus goes to him and reveals to him that he was the Son of Man. And we end with the man believing. What does he say? He says in verse 38, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. So we see a cast out man worshiping Jesus at the end of it. And then the Pharisees question Jesus again, asking, are we also blind? And I think it's within this context that we go to chapter 10. And when we go to chapter 10 in this context, we see where we're at. These shepherds of the people of Israel had cast out this man. They had cast him out. And so we come to the first five verses of John, and there have been many differing interpretations about the details of the scripture, about who is being referred to by the different characters, the shepherd, the sheep. I mean, that's pretty common. Everybody would think that, you know, kind of the same things on those things. But the idea of the the sheep being in this sheepfold, and what is the sheepfold? And who are all the sheep in the sheepfold? Because some of them get brought out. And so in the context, though, I think as we look back to the other text that we looked at this morning, I think it's obvious, and others agree, that there's two different types of sheepfolds being talked about here. There's two different types. There's not just one sheepfold that the description grows on. And both, there's aspects of both sheepfolds that are common, and they're all kind of woven into this entire section. But there's aspects of both that are common. And I think our text this morning in verses 1 through 5, after thinking of the last several weeks we've spent with the account of this blind man who was given sight being cast out, the first five verses here is a description of the Jewish leaders, the robbers and the thieves, is the Jewish leaders. And it's a description of the Jewish leaders being compared to the true shepherd and the sheep. And let's just read it again. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So, the type of sheepfold here that I think Jesus is using as an illustration would be a community sheepfold. And I just want to describe this as just common in where they have sheepfolds today even. But there's the idea there's a shepherd that takes his sheep out, you know, his sheep are out in the pasture, but he comes in and comes home. And they would bring all, so the shepherd would bring all of his sheep, and then this other shepherd would bring all of his sheep, and, you know, several shepherds would come into this community. And so there would be a guy that maybe, if you think of Westerns, any of you have watched Westerns, maybe it's like a stable almost. So there's like a sheepfold where several people brought in their sheep and just put them all together in this one big pen. And the idea is there's a gatekeeper at the sheepfold. Maybe they paid him a little bit to watch, but this guy is hired to keep watch over those sheep. And so this gatekeeper or watchman, he knew the shepherds. He knew the shepherds who had put sheep in the pen. And he would not allow an illegitimate shepherd to enter the pen to have access to these sheep. So there's sheep of particular shepherds placed in the pen. And we see in verse 1, you see the idea that there's he who does not enter by the sheepfold but by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. So an illegitimate person trying to access the sheep could not be let in by the gatekeeper. So there's the idea that if someone had tried to enter the other way, maybe by climbing the fence, this guy's a thief and a robber. He has no good intentions for the sheep. He's trying to climb the fence to do something for his own gain, for his own purposes. So he would not be a legitimate shepherd. They just came to steal or to harm the sheep. And I think this is referring to the illegitimate shepherds. These illegitimate shepherds, these men that had no interest in God, who were leading the people of Israel that Jesus had been conversing with, these illegitimate shepherds, they didn't believe Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus had said, "You are not of God, because if you were of God, you would believe me." So these shepherds had no desire or well-being for the sheep. They only desired to protect the power that they had over the people. They had power over the people. They had made up all kinds of rules and regulations. And when they felt threatened, when those things were threatened, they didn't respond very well, did they? We've seen it. We've seen it in the past. They had come to a point at one time where they picked up stones to stone Jesus. And here we see in chapter 9, they cast out this man. What did the man do? He was born blind and now he could see. And he's cast out of the synagogue. So I think in this, Jesus is using this illustration to point out to these leaders, these false shepherds, that those who enter the sheepfold don't go through the door but climb in by another way are thieves and robbers. He's pointing to those leaders, those shepherds of Israel. And I think in this text, the sheepfold that he's talking about is the people of Israel. Jesus has come, he's speaking to the Jews, to the Israelites, to the Jews. And he's speaking of the sheep that are in the sheepfold. There's a big group of sheep in there, and some of those are his sheep. And I think he's referring to the sheep of Israel, those who he had come, he was seeking those sheep. And then there's a gatekeeper that the shepherd is going to go in. I think the gatekeeper is referring to God, either God the Father or God the Holy Spirit, who opens the gate for the true shepherd. And notice also in verse 3, to him, to this true shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So there's a gatekeeper who's watching the sheep who are pinned up in this sheepfold, Israel. There's a group of sheep, and the true shepherd, Jesus, the true shepherd of the sheep, was here. He was here in Israel. He was speaking to them. He had come. And he was coming to his sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He brings them out. He's bringing them out of this sheepfold. You see that? He's going in the sheepfold to gather his sheep, those who he knows, and bringing them out. And notice also in verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice. So he goes into the sheepfold. The gatekeeper opens the gate. He speaks to all of the sheep in the sheepfold. His sheep hear his voice. His sheep hear him calling. His sheep follow him out. His sheep come out. And notice also that when he has brought out all his own, it's not that his sheep might hear his voice in the sheepfold. His sheep heard his voice. They hear him and they know him and they come out. So in this text, I think we see a beautiful picture of the truth of what was happening. There were among the people of Israel, there were a mixed in all among those people. There were among all these people that wanted nothing to do with Jesus but to kill him. These Jewish leaders that just wanted to shut him up. Mixed in among all those people, there were some true sheep. There were true sheep. And he was there. There were the sheep that belonged to the true shepherd. They were there among that sheepfold being guarded by the gatekeeper. But when the true shepherd comes, the gatekeeper recognizes him. He knows that he's there for his sheep. He opens the gate. The shepherd enters into the sheepfold and calls his sheep by name, and he knows them, and they hear his voice and follow him out. So he calls them out of this sheepfold, and I think in the sheepfold we see described in 7 and on, 7 beginning in verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So in this context, we see that the shepherd is actually the gate by which the sheep enter the sheepfold. They listen to his voice and they enter it. They enter through the shepherd. So I think in this second description is the idea of talking about a sheepfold that's set up out in the fields. You know, the shepherd would go into the town and put the sheep in with a bunch of other sheep. Well, there's the idea that the shepherd, when he's out in the fields at night, would put all of his sheep together, maybe in some, there were natural sheepfolds with rocks And they basically would put all their sheep in there, and the shepherd would actually block the gate so that the sheep were protected in this sheepfold. So the idea here, I believe, is that it's talking about the sheepfold. He's getting pulled out of this one sheepfold, taken out and put in another one. So the reason I think that, because later we see mentioned that there are others, not of the sheepfold of Israel. We read that there are others, not of the sheepfold of Israel, not of this sheepfold, who will be brought into the fold, and all will have one shepherd. So we're part of the others that were brought in. You know, the idea that Jesus is here with the nation of Israel, and then what happens? The gospel goes out to all nations after he died for his sheep. And the others are like in Revelation, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, from Revelation 7:9. What a beautiful picture we see there. But I think we see a beautiful picture in this, that the idea that there's a true shepherd, Jesus, who came to his people. This Jesus was one with God the Father. He hath come. This Jesus came from the Father. He was here, as we're reading. He's speaking to the people of Israel. He's speaking to the religious leaders there, speaking to the people. But the true shepherd came. This true shepherd came and lived a perfect, sinless life. And he laid down his life for his sheep. The true shepherd came and he died on the cross. He died on a cross, taking the penalty that those sheep deserved for their sins. There were true sheep in the world, and the shepherd came and laid his life down. He took the punishment that they deserve. So there's sheep just out there walking around, waiting for that sheep gate to be opened. But then they're brought in to the sheepfold. But they're walking around in danger of predators. But the good shepherd came. He came and he seeks them out. He comes to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate. And what happens? He opens the gate. The shepherd speaks. And the sheep hear the voice and they come. They follow him. The shepherd calls out his sheep by name and they hear. They know his voice and they follow him. And he brings them out and leads them out to pasture and puts them in his sheepfold. And they enter through him. But I think the idea is beautiful in this picture. You see Jesus beginning with the idea that he's criticizing these false shepherds. But he's giving the promise that there are people. I have sheep in this land. I have sheep among these people. As we see the people start to stand against him and desire to kill him, he's promising. He's saying, I have people among these people that are my sheep, and I'm here. And these others, that anyone that comes in another way is a thief and robber. We see a beautiful picture there, and we see a beautiful picture that we'll talk about next week in the idea that there's others from all nations that are not of that sheepfold who would be brought in. And so my question to you all to consider is, have you heard his voice? Have you heard the gospel proclaimed? Have you seen the gospel proclaimed, as we talk about in the Lord's Supper? Have you heard his voice calling you? You know, we don't, in this church, we don't do an invitation. But I want you all to know that as we proclaim the gospel over and over again and talk about the true shepherd who came from God, he was God the Son, God in the flesh, who came and lived that perfect sinless life and died for his sheep. As we proclaim that over and over, the invitation is there every week. It's there every week to hear the truth and believe it. Repent of your sins and turn to Christ and trust in him. Because his sheep are sitting here this morning. There may be sheep here that have never heard his voice calling. But when the Holy Spirit opens that gate and His voice goes out, His sheep hear His voice. So I just encourage any of you, if you've never believed or trusted in the Lord, to believe, to repent and believe and turn to Him and trust in Him. And I just want to leave you with this thought. His sheep will hear that good news. They will hear that gospel proclaimed. They will hear it and they will be like this blind man who was born blind with no ability to see. They will hear that good news and be given sight, and the sheep will hear, and they will be the way we ended chapter 9, the way the man was given sight, and he ended up saying, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped Him. And so His sheep will hear His voice, and I just encourage you all to, if you're hearing His voice today, just respond, believe the gospel, believe and worship Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day, and I thank You for Your word. And Father, we just ask that You would, if anything that I've said is wrong, that You would bring clarity to it, that You would give people discernment to dig into these scriptures and to understand them. But Father, we praise You for Your word. We praise You that we can know, that we can trust and believe that Jesus is the true shepherd, the one who gave His life for the sheep. And Father, we thank You for the beautiful picture You've given us in sheep and shepherds that we see all through the scripture. These helpless animals, the way that we are, that they're so dependent upon the shepherd. Father, we are completely dependent upon You for our spiritual nourishment, for our lives, for our physical nourishment. And Father, we are like these sheep who need to be led around, and we are so thankful that You sent the shepherd, that You sent the Son, so that we might see and that we might have life. And Father, we thank You for calling us out and for knowing us and for causing us to hear the sheep's voice and to believe. And we just praise You for that. And I do pray again that if there's anyone here that You are calling out, that You would just continue working in their lives. We trust and know that You do accomplish all that You set out to accomplish in our children's lives and in those who would believe in their lives. And Father, we trust in that. But Father, I just pray that You would continue to work and to work among us and strengthen our faith and to bring those to repentance who You desire to bring to repentance. And Father, we just praise You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.